Today on Rock in the Suburbs,
we ponder one of the rarest of all vinyl creatures,
the double 7-inch EP,
commonly found in back streets of major cities and isolated bedrooms of the United Kingdom.
But today's rare example hails from near the waters of America's majestic Chesapeake Bay.
You mean like Annapolis? Okay, it's Rock in the Suburbs.
I'm
Jim Linehan.
I'm Patrick Foster.
And we're talking about rarities from our record collections this week. And Patrick, what did you bring to round out the week?
Well, Jim, I bought a favorite record of mine from 1987. It was recorded in 1987. I believe released sometime in 1987, 1988, right around that time. It must have been released early 1988, but must have been around the time I got it. You've heard me talk on this podcast before, Jim, about my upbringing and being into like the DC punk scene, right? And Discord and stuff like that. So
yes, you were there.
I was there for some of it, kind of the second wave. I mean, I wasn't there for the beginning of like Bad Brains and Minor Threat and all that stuff, or the Teen Idols, but I kind of came into it, you know, not too long after that Revolution summer period in like 85, 86. The interesting thing about Discord, it was totally the dominant record label in DC, right? I mean, outside of like the go-go scene and other things, but for rock guitar music, punk music, it was really the label, and for good reason. I mean, you know, Minor Threat's one of the greatest bands of all time. You know, they really are. Rites of Spring, all these incredibly important bands. But there were also other labels and other little scenes that kind of took place. A couple of other record labels. There was Teen Beat that Mark Robinson ran from kind of from Arlington.
Yeah.
Simple Machines, also Jenny Toomey and Kristen. There was one called Fountain of Youth that had some other DC punk bands on it. And there's DSI Records. And there was another little label actually out of Annapolis, Maryland, of all places, called Vermin Scum Records. And one of the bands I really liked on this label was called Hated, or The Hated, depending on who you ask. And they put out this double 7-inch called Like the Days. Came out in, like I said, 88, 87, but it was recorded. It says at the back there, it was recorded at Inner Ear Studios by Don Zientara.
Yes.
So it was recorded at the Holy Grail Discord studio, but didn't come out on Discord. And that was a cool thing about, you know, Inner Ear was essentially the original Inner Ear studio was down in Don's basement in Arlington.
Right.
It was just in a neighborhood, kind of like the neighborhood I live in, an older neighborhood built in the 40s after the war. And you just went down to his basement. You'd say hi to his wife, you know, and you went down, and that's where they recorded like all the Minor Threat records and all this amazing stuff.
And if I've read and seen some stuff on TV, documentary or something I watched about Inner Ear. And tell me if I'm right about this, but wasn't there, like, didn't they also used to put like band members in like different rooms and stuff like that, and like run the cables down into the basement?
That's right. To make an isolation kind of roof or booth. Yeah.
And there's some story about HR from Bad Brains, like actually recording his vocals, like in the backyard, like that.
That's right. They would do stuff.
Yeah.
They would get creative to get separation because it's a house a lot like the size of my house. You know, it's an old Cape Cod. So that's what they would do. They would do all kinds of this creative stuff. Now they've moved on since then.
Yeah.
You know, since the 90s, they built a nicer, bigger facility over near where WETA is in Arlington. But
right.
Yeah, it was kind of a classic area.
This is great.
Yeah. So this is a great record. Now look at this. It's a double 7-inch, which was kind of weird at the time.
Oh, yeah.
Very inspiring to me.
So, okay.
The lyrics of the songs are written on the label themselves. But the Hated were a pretty interesting band. They were emo. They were early emo. You know, I think Rites of Spring came along in the mid-80s and kind of began to define the emo sound. But it didn't really spread across the country all that much until a little bit later. And then obviously then it became a big pop punk, you know, it kind of grew into things that eventually became Fall Out Boy and some of those other bands, Good Charlotte, that got pretty popular. But this record is really a pure example of kind of what the early emo sound was. But it's also interesting in the fact that it's got some different rhythms. It's got two singers that sing on this record that kind of intertwine their voices. The guitars are snarling at times and gentle at others. And You know, the lyrics are very interesting and different. They're not standard, you know, what you would consider punk or hardcore fare. So it's a record I quite like. Now, some of the people that were on this record at the time, there was different members that came in and out of the Hated. At the time, John Irvine played bass on this. Kenneth Hill played drums. Dan Littleton and Eric Fisher were the two main guitar players and singers. Dan Littleton went on to some note to play in a band called Ida. He played in some ensembles with Jenny Toomey, Licorice, I believe. A lot of different stuff. Did some of his own work. So he kind of went on to some notoriety, but this is back in the 87 days when he was playing kind of this Annapolis, Maryland-based punk rock.
Okay.
There's a song that I found in a little MP3 of called Not Mine. So why don't we cue up that and play a little bit of it. Stuff with the intertwining vocals singing but not necessarily together, overlapping words on top of each other, the driving drums and the guitars. It's really a cool record.
This is like right in my wheelhouse. This is exactly the kind of stuff I love. So
it's great.
It's really cool.
Mm-hmm.
And they were they remind me of somebody, but I can't quite place it. So
Well, you know, there was a band, I don't know if you remember this band called Cap'n Jazz, but they came out a little later in the 90s, but I think they were really influenced by the Hated on the Kinsella Brothers. But the Hated went on to put out an LP called Every Song on Vermin Scum Records, and basically a slightly different lineup, a different bass player, but it's also quite good, and I can be happy to rip both of those for you, Jim. Neither of them are really on the streaming at all. They've kind of a forgotten band.
I would love it.
In that sense, yeah.
And when we start our pirate radio station, right, we can just play all this stuff.
That's
right?
Exactly right. We'll just drop the needle on a lot of 7 inches. So you got 2 7-inches, one song per side. It's a lot of fun to put on.
I have one question about this format. I just find this to be fascinating. This is just me and sort of the record geek in me, but like, none of these songs are particularly long, right?
No, they're not. Mm-mm.
They're all pretty short songs, right?
Two minutes, two and a half, three max, yeah.
So why wouldn't you just put 2 songs per side on a single 7-inch like a lot of bands did?
That's a great question.
But instead, there's two discs in here.
Probably get a little higher fidelity at 45 RPM, but we're not talking about a cooler type production here. It was done in her ear. So
they've like doubled their expenses.
Isn't that interesting?
On this thing.
Yeah, it's a little art object.
Which is great now because you're like, cool. This is really a nice thing. But
yeah, it's a beautiful.
It just seems like an odd decision for a band
at strange?
That yeah. point to
maybe,
make. Yeah.
Maybe they wanted to write all the lyrics out for each song on the label itself, which is interesting, right?
The label in the round, you know,
and there's no mention
middle of the record.
There's no information about the label or anything. It's just all the lyrics kind of spread out and handwritten different ways. So it's a cool object. I love it.
That is great.
Yeah.
Okay. Excellent. So
the Hated.
You mentioned that you did not exhaust all of the rare music that you have this week, right? So we're going to revisit this again at some point,
right? I sure hope so, because I love what you played a lot. Those were great and appropriate. So this will be a lot of fun. And
I
really hope our listeners contribute, because I think that'd be a fun week, too, if we had their rarities to play.
I would love it. Yeah. Go through the record collection and be like, this is that one record or one song or whatever that I really have always want people to hear, but
right. And it's just not on Spotify or Apple Music or anywhere. Yeah,
that's right.
Yeah,
and we would love to hear it. So what you can do is send us a clip, like make an MP3 or a WAV file, whatever. Send us a clip, email us rock@suburbspod.com, and we'll keep this thing going. I think this is really fun.
I think it's a fantastic idea, and I can't wait to see what other people come up with.
And it doesn't have to be, you know, last couple of days we've done like local bands. You know, this is DC, and, and I played a band from Louisville yesterday, but the rarities don't have to be just that either.
No, no.
It can be, you know, well-known, popular, nationally known acts or whatever, but just maybe they have that one album that never made it onto streaming or some B-side or something. Where, you know, whatever. I would just love to hear what people have in their collections.
You know, maybe part of the album's on Spotify and part of it's not. Like, that was really interesting with those grayed out songs.
Yes.
I've only seen that a couple times on Spotify. It was really
weird.
You
see that with compilations usually and like soundtracks. That's where it happens.
That's
a
really
lot.
Cool.
And you mentioned once a while, about a few months ago, about how you used to buy soundtrack albums just to get like one weird rare song,
right?
So everybody's got stuff like that in their collections, right? All right, so are we going to hear more of The Hated when we play out?
We'll play out with the last song called Psalm.
Okay, we'll do that. This is the end of this week, but the show goes on.
Every day.
Every day. So listen, every day. You can find us on all the big streaming podcast services.
Yeah.
So listen there.
We're out there.
We are out there. We have not yet put anything down on physical media.
No.
But maybe that might be coming.
Yeah, you never know. We've got some ideas.
Also, if you'd like to call us and leave a message about the show or anything you want to talk about, or maybe, you know, like me, you're up late at night watching YouTube videos and drinking some bourbon and, you know, just want to share some thoughts, you can do that. It's 612-440-1984. And what else? Social media, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, @SuburbsPod. Please also rate and review Rock in the Suburbs.
If you could do that would really be important for us, folks.
Apple Podcasts, we need some more ratings and reviews. We'd really appreciate that. And also, if you want to buy a Rock in the Suburbs t-shirt or coffee mug, go to teespring.com and search for Rock in the Suburbs, and you'll see the orange and black logoed items, and you can do that there. Okay, what are we going to hear, Patrick?
We're going to hear Psalm from the epic Like the Days double 7-inch from The Hated, 1988.
Very good. Okay, it's Rock in the Suburbs. I'm Jim Linehan.
I'm Patrick Foster.
Let's talk to you guys next week.
I'll have to get it off the vinyl.
Like Annapolis?